what we have learned from the practical example of an LR0 parser is that although the canonical automaton is already able to sort out a few of the conflicts that usually appear, unfortunately, in general, the LR0 parser is still non-deterministic. And we can pin that down to two typical situations. So they are like the so-called reduce-reduce conflict, which usually means that we find a state Q in which we have more than one closed items. So we have one item A goes to gamma bullet and one A prime goes to gamma prime bullet, and both of them being different from each other, of course. So this is one which we would usually have to interpret in the canonical automaton, guiding us to do reductions on both of these productions. And this is, of course, not in any way helpful at all. So what is the other condition for non-determinism? This would be the so-called shift-reduce conflict. And in this case, we find that in the final state, there's not only the closed item, but there's also an item in conflict with this one, which would be an item on which the marker is in front of a terminal. Yeah. So those two items then are in conflict with each other and make up for the shift-reduce conflict. Such states are usually the stepping stone for the LR0 parser to be deterministic, and in that sense are unsuited for LR0. Yeah? So you might wonder whether life is in general just depressing, or whether there is some thing that we have just not seen yet and we can use for augmenting our concept of the LR0 parser. For that, we would probably better have a look at the typical situations that are still looking non-deterministic. Yeah, and for those, we might figure out what actually is able to differentiate particular reductions from each other, or some reduction and shifts from each other. Yeah, and for that, let's have a look at our example, where we would typically run into shift-reduce or reduce-reduce conflict. And one of the situations is one that I have brought with me. So this is again the example from before, just focusing on those situations where the canonical automaton would give several different advices to the LR0 parser. And one of those, for example, would be the one where we would already have processed the input up to a certain amount, like this one here, which means that we are in the parsing state of Q0 and conceptually T on the pushdown. I've reverted back to having the actual symbols on the pushdown for that particular example instead of the actual states that would be for illustration purposes. So the pushdown would contain T, and for the rest of the input, in order to be correctly parsed, we would like to see a derivation tree continued like this. So in our concept of the whole thing being the the historical witness for a particular rightmost derivation. This would be the continuation that would lead for that particular input to successful powers. However, what our canonical automaton computes is all possible rightmost derivations that would still work with such a fragment or such a handle on the push down, which coincidentally means that there's also, for example, a continuation like this one here, where this is conceptually the same fragment of a derivation than the one that we have had before, and this can also be continued with just like this particular root node in order to make up for a successful rightmost derivation tree. So this would then be perfectly fine. So this is also a thing that our characteristic automaton takes into account. This is why there's two different items found in the state. Yeah? The same happens also in another situation. So here, for example, we have found that our pushdown content represents to this fragment, like again boiling down to just a T, but this time in order to produce the rest of the derivation tree necessary for this input, we would have to reduce to E. Again, here in this situation, our characteristic automaton would have several paths to take in order to reach a handle like this T, for example. This particular derivation would also be valid. So you would start from E, go via T to the T, and well, of course, this would mean for the for this alternative derivation mean that we would have to continue with something different, like here another multiplication part, but that doesn't play a role so far, because all that we are looking at is like this particular handle, and this is actually a thing that appears in the canonical automaton. But now we're already quite close to what the actual thing is that makes a difference between the different alternatives that there are for derivations to continue. So what we have now already mentioned is that there is still the fact of the things that are neighboring the stack content that we had before, that play a role in how to reduce or shift. Since in order for this, T to be reduced to T, we again need the first T to be followed by a star operator for multiplication. Yeah, so that is a thing that plays an actual role. So that we can try to make that into a general idea. In reverse rightmost derivations, the right context determines what kind of derivations there are. This also is a thing for the first situation that we had. So here we had to disambiguate whether to shift with star or whether to do a reduction to E, and this is determined by whatever follows. So usually if there is another multiplication following the T, which can be directly found in the input, by the way, we know that this usually happens in case that T is followed by star. Yeah, if we would reduced to E, then there would be no use for the following star here. So by looking at the right context, we can somehow disambiguate between both of these options. And the same goes also for the other situation where we had to decide how what to do with T here. And Well, same thing as before. If there is a multiplication operator, a star to the right of this T, we would probably go for reduction to T. However, since what we find is that there is a plus in the input, it's different matter. Particularly, what we will see is that this T has to be reduced to E in order for plus to be a valid right context for the whole thing. Yeah. So, still, it's a matter of right context, and that is a thing that we can see from the productions of our grammar and also reflect in our, maybe also reflect in our characteristic or canonical automata. Yeah. So, all in all, what we now have as an idea for a solution in conflict situations is to consider a so-called K-look-ahead, which means that we will have a look-ahead of K many terminal symbols in the input in order to figure out which action we should take in a particular stack or pushdown content for the LR parser. Yeah. So you might wonder what kind of expressivity you get from that, and turns out that it's again one of those very pragmatic definitions of grammars. They are hand-tailored in a way such that they fit to the LRK parsing principle. So here the definition for this grammar is that we call a context-free grammar to be an LRK grammar if we can disambiguate handles on the pushdown by looking at maximally K many following input symbols. Yeah, and this is expressed by what you see here in a formula. So this alpha beta is considered to be the pushdown content, yeah, with B being the actual handle then, and the W part being the remainder of the input. And we consider a grammar to be a K grammar if it suffices to look at, well, all these symbols, of course, and the and K many more terminals from the input, and compare that to a same length prefix of any other handle input combination. And if from this comparison follows that this A is needs to be the same as A prime, B needs to be the same as B prime, and A needs to be the same as A prime, then we call this particular grammar to be an LRK grammar. So if it suffices to just have a look at number of symbols in alpha beta, many symbols on the push down together with K symbols from the input, so this number of symbols as a prefix from some other handle look ahead combination, alpha prime, beta prime, W prime, then the only option that there is that this needs to be the same as the original one. So, with that, we can consider us being given a tool for sorting out grammars into categories. So, we have a kind of a test that we can derive from this definition, whether a grammar it can be considered an LRK grammar or not. We can also determine like the minimal K for which a grammar is LRK. Yeah. For that, what we would do is we would focus on all possible rightmost derivations by somehow enumerating them. Yeah, so what we have to do is find out all possible rightmost derivations while paying attention what the last step in rewriting was somehow. So that is a thing that we have to somehow find out. And then we can start checking for the smallest k by starting with zero, whether a particular alpha beta plus k long prefix of the sentence form that we have built up here that we call the handle with k look ahead, and check whether any of the other rightmost derivations that we have found is actually, if you just look at the same length prefix, the same or not. And if we find that there is one that has the same length prefix than the one that we focus on currently, then we have found proof for k being not large enough for this particular grammar, and then we will have to increase k and start all over. However, if we manage to go through all combinations of rightmost derivations with this particular instance of k and have not found any proof against, then we found that there's no objection against k being the look ahead that we wanted to find out, and one can say k is the minimal k such that the grammar is still an LRK grammar. So this is quite abstract so far, so let's have a look at how that plays out in practice. So first example here is a grammar that forks into A's or B's, where A's will go to A capital A B or 0, whereas B goes to A capital B BB or 1. Yeah, so they all are pretty similar, except for that in one case we create double the times B's than A's and also separate them with a 1 instead of a 0. So that's what we get from that grammar. So you might think a little bit on this one, and the first thing that you maybe notice is, just if you think back to what we did for LL, is that a thing that is somehow LL compliant? And we see that for that we would have to disambiguate between alternatives like this one and this one. Turns out that we get as first set of A and B both times, well, an arbitrary amount of A's and an arbitrary amount of A's for B. So, well, that's a thing that is pretty obvious, not LRK for any K. So what about LRK? For that, we need to focus on all the possible right derivations that there are. So usually what we do is we just try to enumerate them. Like, what is a typical right derivation of that stuff? Well, first derivation could be A or B. That is a valid right derivation. A or B could be right derived into 0 or 1. Yeah, and then we would start with deriving these variants of A's and B's. So what we would usually get is like these things here with the parts of the sentence form underlined which had been last to be replaced. Yeah, so when we do the replacement of S with A, we end up with a sentence form that has A underlined. Yeah, if we instead would have gone to the second alternative, we would have reached here. Yeah, and then when we do further further rewriting steps, we would end up with A being replaced by, for example, AAB, which would lead to a lot of further of other sentence forms, for which we just need to look at the prefix that stops at the last replaced part. Yes, which means that this is a valid characterization of all the choices that go with this alternative as the last rewritten things. Same as for this one here, we would come to this alpha beta prefix of the derivations, and finally if we go 0 or 1, we would find ourselves being in a to the n 0, a to the n 1, depending on how many times we have chosen the first option instead of the second one. Now, this determines how many how large the n is in these cases. So that is a way of denoting all the possible rightmost derivations, for this example at least. So now what we have to check is, step by step, each of the sentence forms up to the end of the underlined part, whether this intersects some other prefix of one of these alpha beta forms here. Yeah. So for example, we can just go through that, compare with just A, and well, this is not a prefix of any of the others. B, it's not a prefix of any of the others. A to the N AAB has something in common with, for example, the third one. However, this is still not an actual prefix, since they deviate at the position of B. Yeah? Okay. So, also, there's something in common, like this A to the N is in common with this A to the N, but then it straight away deviates from each other by this zero thing. Yeah? Okay, so with that, we know that A to the N, AAB, is not a prefix of any of the others. Same reasoning is holding for this one here. And this one here is, well, also not a prefix of any of the others. It's also not. So we've compared each one to any other and have found out that there is just no prefixing going on whatsoever between all of those. We didn't even have to consider any part of the remaining input, which would be like this W part. Yeah. So this, we were able to cut this down to even size 0 and still were able to differentiate between all of these handles without any problem. So what does that mean? That means, of course, this example was LR0. Yeah. So that's the way that you usually do that. Another example, this one here. Just as a quick remark, this is a left recursive production. So this is straight away telling us that this is not LLK for any K. Just as a quick side remark, we didn't ask for the LLK property anyway. So instead, what we need to focus on is all the possible rightmost derivations. So we still have to create those. So to make things short, let's show them. Those are possible, all the possible rightmost derivations cut off at the end of the underlined part. Otherwise, we would have a lot of b to the 2 or b to the 2n continuations, for example, for this one, but doesn't matter. For our purposes, we have to start with a length of lookahead of 0 and see whether there is any intersection going or any prefixing going on. So let's go through them one by one. AB It's not a prefix. It's not a prefix of any of the others. AAC neither is. Yeah. And this one also is not. So again, this is a thing which is LR0. Yeah. So even left recursive grammars can be quite easily parsed with even LR0 parser. So, turns out LR0 parser, although the leading example might look like quite weak, LR0 parser still is able to do a lot of things. But let's have another example. Maybe let's see something that is more interesting here. So, this one here. Let's try to find the rightmost derivations with first k of the remainder of the input following the handle. Yeah, so this would be of one of those forms here for the grammar that we find here. So yeah, now we see that we actually have something that follows the last rewritten part, which is here the C, for example, here also the C, and well, here's nothing, but there is just nothing there. This is just end of input. Yeah. So there now actually is something following here. So still, for our algorithm to check which K is minimal, we have to go through and compare this prefix with all the other possible prefixes. And turns out that we immediately find that our second one here is giving us a sentence form that can be prefixed by the one from before. Yeah. So this is now the first finding that we get, which means that, well, if we don't take into account a look ahead, meaning things that follow in the input, we can't disambiguate between those two handles. So in one way we would have to reduce, for the other we would have to shift. So this is telling us that k is not zero. Yeah, so we have to continue looking for something a little bit larger. So let's do so. Let's have a look at the prefix that is of length 2 to the n plus 3, which means that it goes up to the first symbol after the handle in our first sentence form, and then compare that to all the others. So this would have to be compared to a same length thing over here, and this means, well, here in our case we would already have found out that this look ahead decided, for at least this particular example, that there is an actual difference in them. Yeah? The one from over here is not a candidate for intersection at all, since there is no B part in the middle. One thing of note, maybe. Another thing that we would have to check in principle is also derived from this sentence form. We would of course also have valid rightmost derivations that look like a b to 2n plus 2 and then BBA C, for example. This would also be a valid one. But for this one, still the same thing holds. The C here makes the actual difference because this would hit directly into this collection of B's and would be able to differentiate between those. Yeah. Also, of course, we could face A, B, this one here, but again, this thing here would hit into this B part of plus 2 and thus differentiate between those two variants. So, all in all, the first one doesn't prefix any of the others. So, how about the others? Well, it turns out this one is also not a prefix of any of the others, and this one neither. So, what we can say is that this is not LR0, but LR1. Yeah? Okay. So, fourth one. S goes to AC, or A goes to BAB, or B. Let's have a check. Let's have a look into the example, and here I spare you the enumeration of all the possible rightmost derivations. Instead, you can directly focus on one of these rightmost derivations, which is this one here. So here what we get is the alpha beta part being matched with this one here, and the look ahead then continuing with whatever k you want in this thing over here. And what we can already see from here is that there is an unbound number of B's in there. Yeah, so you can find possible derivations that have arbitrarily many B's following here. Why is this a bad thing? Well, just imagine that there is another A, B to the N plus 2, B, B to the N plus 2, for example, which is perfect instance of the same thing, but derived in a different fashion with different sequence of derivations. For that, we would have to differentiate between those by looking at a particular fixed look ahead, and well, turns out that you would have to exceed this N in order to reach the C, which would then be able to differentiate with the other example in here. Yeah. However, you can always find derivations of arbitrary large N. So there is no fixed constant that you can use for a look-ahead window in order to decide this example. So that's an example for which there is no fixed k such that we can set up LR parsing with k look ahead.